Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is today's gospel, especially those two parables, but these words that Jesus speaks before that. To the great crowds that accompanied him, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, one thing that we strive for as human beings, the older we get, is independence. We don't want to be dependent on others. We want to be independent and do it ourselves. And sometimes that turns out okay, and sometimes it doesn't. But we always work towards that. I remember years ago, I was really small at the time. It's one of my earliest memories. I woke up before everybody else in the house, and I decided I'm going to be a big boy and make myself breakfast. And luckily, I didn't go to the, you know, gas oven or anything, but I did get a bowl, and I got a spoon, and I got the Cheerios out, and I opened up the fridge to get the milk, but the milk was too high, and I couldn't get it. So I picked the only other liquid that I associated with breakfast, which was orange juice, and I poured that in the Cheerios. Try that sometime, okay? I've never tried it since, but I was trying to be independent, and it failed, and yet I learned a lesson from that. And yet sometimes it's better to do nothing than to do something, and sometimes it's important for us to understand our dependence rather than striving for independence. And that can be a painful lesson to learn. Hypothetically, like a football team that learns how dependent it is on a long snapper, for example. I mean, if you watched the game yesterday, that was a painful lesson for people to learn, okay? That's an important position, seemingly. But that dependence is something we don't strive for. We want to be independent. Now, in our gospel today, well, actually the last 3 weeks, Jesus keeps saying things that are harsher and harsher and harsher all the time. And for some reason, he's getting even more people following him. And so the words he speaks here, like I said, it's almost like he's trying to thin the herd out. And he says, well, you all have to hate your family, and you have to take up your cross and carry it to follow me. Now, and back, keep in mind, back then, when you thought of a cross, you didn't think of a necklace or a wall decoration. You thought of something that was used to kill people in a horrible way. And most of these people that he's speaking to had witnessed that. You must bear your cross in order to follow me. Now, I think in a certain way, Jesus is speaking with a little hyperbole here, but he's also trying to tell the people following him and us today how serious it is to be a disciple of his. And how difficult it is to be his disciple, especially during the very hard times that he's talked about for the last weeks. Times of division, times of judgment, times of crisis. What resources do we have at those times to call upon so that we maintain the fact that we are still disciples? I was thinking about that this last week, and I was thinking of something I had in the trunk, every trunk of every car I had when I lived in Minnesota. It was my mom's emergency kit, okay, for the winter. So if our car stalled, I could save my life with my mom's emergency kit. Now, what it was an empty can of Folgers, okay, with a candle in it and some matches, and some really old fun-sized Snickers. Okay? That's my emergency kit. Now, seemingly what happens then, if I get stuck in a drift of snow or something, I can light the candle, I put it in the can, it radiates heat, and so I don't freeze to death, and I can get some energy with the fun-sized Snickers until someone shows up and saves me. Now, in January 1994, I went to a wedding in California, and I was there about 4 or 5 days. And at that time, my car was parked at my friend's house in central Minnesota. And those days I was gone, I think the highest it got was about 5 degrees above zero. And just about every day it got down to around 25 below. And my car was parked outside. So when I got home, I didn't know if this car was going to start. And I actually had to borrow a hammer from my friend, and I had to hammer the clutch down because I couldn't get it down any other way. And then I managed to start it, and then with both hands and all my strength, I pulled the clutch back, and I just kind of let it idle for about an hour and a half. And then I got in my car, and I drove home. And the whole way home, every time I had to put the clutch in to shift, I'd use both my feet and then stick my toe under the clutch and pull as I was putting the gas on. It was just a disaster. And at a certain point, I realized, I mean, it's 26 below zero right now, and I haven't seen one car on these country roads, not one. And I'm thinking, if my car stalls at this point, I'm going to die. And then I remembered, the emergency kit. And so I went back there and I got the emergency kit. And when I looked at this feeble emergency kit, I realized there's no way this is going to save my life. Okay? I mean, if I light this candle and put it in the Folgers can, it's just going to add to the, you know, mood, I guess, mood lighting for the people eventually when they find me frozen to death with a frozen Snickers sticking out of my mouth, right? See, what was in that Folgers can was not enough resources to save me at that moment. Now, when we look at our emergency disciple kit, we think, well, the solution to that is you just have to put more stuff in your Folgers can, right? Just have to get more stuff. And Jesus, probably understanding that's what they're thinking, says to them, okay, you want some more stuff? This is what you got to do. First of all, you got to hate your family. There is a special nuance to that word. If you look through the Bible, that word hate in Hebrew and Greek, if you go back to the story of Jacob where he marries Leah and Rachel, remember, he didn't want to marry Leah. He wanted to marry Rachel, but he got tricked into Leah. And Leah realized the attitude that her husband had towards her. And so just to make sure he knew, when she had her first child, she named him Simeon, which means hated. Now, you can't tell me Jacob hated Leah. For one thing, read in the Old Testament how many kids she had with Jacob, okay? But the nuance you really have here is not hate. It's he loved her less. And that's really what Jesus is talking about here. And still, that's a hard word for these people to hear. Their entire self-image is wrapped up in their family. Everything was family. And so it's a hard word to hear. You have to love your family less than me. Everything in their culture said the opposite. And then a harder word, he says, and you have to love yourself less than me. And finally, the hardest word of all, and you have to take up your cross and follow me. Now, the difficult thing about this is, it's not just a matter of doing this once or twice or three times. We have to follow this all the time. And we can't. The original 12 disciples couldn't. When it was a time of crisis for them, there was nothing in their Folgers can, okay? What they do, they denied Jesus, they ran from Jesus, they hid. They failed miserably. Now, a text like this can become very burdensome for us if we do something, which, I mean, most of us naturally do when it comes to this text. And that is we add something that's not in the text. These two parables are very short, and they're also kind of different for parables. Usually a parable has a negative and a positive, right? Like the lost sheep gets lost, that's negative, but then it gets found, that's positive. Or the servants are prepared for the master, that's positive, or they're not, that's negative. Or the women have oil for their lamp, positive, or they don't, negative. But in these two parables, there's only a negative. First of all, you have a builder who sees if he has enough resources to build, and guess what? He doesn't. And you have a king who is planning on attacking another king, but he has to look at if he has enough soldiers. He has half. He doesn't have enough. Now, what we naturally try to do is we add the positive where it's not there. And we'll say, well, what Jesus is really saying, but he doesn't, but I'll add that for Jesus, what he really means is, he's saying that we need to plan better our Christian life, and we have to get more and more Christian resources so that we can continue to be disciples. But that's not what Jesus is saying. What he's saying in these two parables is, you see these two men in the parables? They're never going to be prepared. That's the point. And you're never going to be prepared to be a disciple. Because discipleship is not about our independence. how we walk beside Jesus, how Jesus is our friend, how he's our example. No, we're completely dependent on Jesus for everything that has to do with our discipleship. We see that with the original 12. What Jesus does is very unusual. 2,000 years ago, I mean, he was not the only rabbi walking around Palestine with disciples. There were lots of those. And yet the student would always choose the teacher. In this case, Jesus chooses them. He chooses them to be disciples. He leads them as disciples. He empowers them to be disciples. And when they fail, he forgives them as disciples. You see, the good news we have in this text about discipleship is not about the work we do for him. It's the work he does through us. And it's about the fact that every breath we take is a gift from the Savior. That's how dependent we are on him. And from that should come peace. Kind of like the peace I had after eating that first bite of Cheerios, right? Well, luckily I got a mom, so I don't have to worry about this anymore, okay? It's not going to happen again. That's how we should feel as disciples of Jesus Christ. Joy in the dependence we have on him for everything. And joy in the fact that someday he's going to bring us home. In Jesus' name, amen.